Greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us today for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. The sermon series this month will be on Joseph. We hope you will invite others to join us each week. A short time ago, a viewer from South Dakota wrote, "Thank you for keeping Pastor Salem's Word on television. It is wonderful that I can count on hearing the Lord's words each week. The Lord has helped me through everything. He always knows best." Dad's message today is on experiencing troubles and trials and finding refuge and strength in God the Father. Let's join Dad for his message titled, "Joseph, Triumphant Through Trials." May God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are. All over the world, we're gathering around the throne of grace, and we're going to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and the kind Heavenly Father. And we're praying that in this service, there'll be many that will put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've been thinking about it, maybe you've never heard it before, but we're just praying that you'll open your heart to Jesus, and that the Christian people will be encouraged and helped, and those who are shut-ins will know that we're thinking about them. This is your service, dear Lord. We ask you to just to take it and use it to your honor and glory. We're looking at Psalm 36 today, where the psalmist writes, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a great God and that we can find comfort and protection and security under your wings. And those wings will never fail us, and we always will be secure in the Lord Jesus. And so we just pray for everyone who is worshiping with us that you'll have your way in our heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jan has a song, I know you're going to like it. "Take the World, But Give Me Jesus." And God bless you, Jan.
Face to face.
Well, thank you, Jan. And that's the prayer of every Christian. We want Jesus. And the world is going to pass away. Peter says it's going to pass away in a fervent heat. It'll be no more. And so people live for the world, and it's going to vanish away. And maybe in the process lose their soul. So we want Jesus. Well, we want to thank all of you for tuning us in today. And by the way, we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 37 in just a few minutes. But we want to thank you for the letters. We get so many nice letters, and we just want to thank you so much. And I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. But we always read these letters, and sometimes they have questions. We answer the questions. And if you've accepted the Lord, we send you special literature. If your children accepted the Lord, we send a little booklet for children. Oh, we just love to minister and to have a part in your life. But we won't know a thing about you or anything unless you write to us. And we hear from all over the world. We got a letter just not long ago from Australia and one from Spain. And so we always answer those letters and we send our little publication. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But let's read some of the letters. The first one is from Lusk, Wyoming. And this person writes, I watch you on CTN. Can't remember what station you are when I first started watching 25 years ago. Here's this dear soul, and I can't remember if it's a man or a woman, and they've 25 years they've been worshiping with us. Isn't that wonderful? And she said, and then they say, keep spreading the word. You are a light beacon, and that's the light of the world. We are a beacon of light because we preach the Bible, preach the word. And you know, that's what people are saying. Is there any word from God? Does God have something to say? What does God have to say? Boy, we hear the politicians, Lord have mercy. But what does God have to say? And you know, he's got a lot to say. And it's in that holy book called the Bible. And so you just get it. And if you don't know where to start reading the Gospel of John. It's all wonderful. Well, here's a letter from Wichita, Kansas. And it says, my friend Sue told me about your program, and I watched every Sunday. Thank you for your sermons and explaining everything so clearly. And so here's a lady that told her friends about the Christian Worship Hour. And I hope that you're doing that. Because just think, if everybody would tell one friend to tune in, we'd double our congregation in one day, in one week. And so tell others, and they'll thank you for it, because we're preaching the Bible. We're not preaching any denomination. We're preaching the Word of God. What does God say? And that's our lessons every week. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and applies it to our heart. And so people may be convicted of one thing and another thing and another thing. And I get letters, and they say, well, that your sermon was right toward me. Well, I don't know you from Adam, really. I don't even know where you live. But the Holy Spirit knows. And so the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, applies it to hearts of the people. And so then they're born again. And so they grow in grace. And so they're encouraged. And so they're directed and guided. Oh, it's wonderful. Here is, I just put the USA. I didn't put the town or the state on this, because I don't want to get anybody into trouble, but I wanted to read it because I want to make a comment on it. And this is a lady, she writes, and she said, you mean a lot to us. We thank you for serving us in Christ all these years. My husband won't listen to me, but I thank God he'll listen to you because you say it a lot better. Well, now, I know that happens, that they don't want to listen to their wives, but they'll listen to somebody else. But what I want to point out is, it doesn't matter who says it, it's the Word of God. And maybe your wife knows the Lord, she might just help you a little bit. You're not born again, you husbands and you men. And there you are, you're just like a bump on the log, and you don't accept Jesus, and you don't do this, and there you sit. And then you listen out of one ear to what I have to say. Well, just support your wife and mainly open your heart to Jesus, because your soul depends on it. And I don't know where you are or who you are, but most of the time it's the women that come to Jesus first, and then the men come dragging along. And so maybe that's your case. Your dear wife knows Jesus and you don't know Jesus, and you ought to do that. So I just hope that you'll keep listening and follow the teaching of the Word of God. Here's Minot, North Dakota. I've accepted the Lord in my life. I can feel Him by my side and in my heart so many times. He has forgiven my sins and taken me into His arms. Please send me some information on things you think I need. Thanks so much. Now, there's two things I want to say about this letter. Now, she says she feels the Lord, and I don't doubt that at all, because some people do. When they accept Jesus, they have feelings. When I accepted Jesus, I didn't have any special feelings. And you don't need feelings, because it's a covenant. And God is making a covenant, and it's a conditional covenant. God says, if you do something, I'll do something. He says, if you accept Jesus, I'll make you my son. I'll make you my child. And there may be feelings and there may not be feelings. And watch out for the feelings, because one day you may feel just really wonderful and the next day you may feel lower than a snake's belt buckle. So just, it's like the Rock of Gibraltar. The tides come in and the tides go out. The water's always moving up and down and back and forth, but that rock stands still. Jesus Christ is that rock. And there may be feelings and there may not be. Now, the other thing is, this new song is a little Bible study that we have. Every month there's a new Bible study. And this month it's about Jesus, the light of the world. And we have scriptures with it. Some people use it for Sunday school lessons. Some people use it for Bible studies. And it's free and postpaid. I'm going to give the address right now because I don't want to forget and I don't want you to miss it. So get your pencil and paper and you write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to repeat it for those on shortwave because you can't see anything, but you can hear us. It's Christian Worship Hour and box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And say new song. Well, if you write to us, we'll automatically send the new song. And it is a wonderful little study, and you'll get a blessing from it. And so I hope you'll write in and get that. Here's one from Washington State, Centralia, Washington. And they say, oh, listen to this. Your barometer measures warm and sunny. Nothing dry about you, dear brother. You're filled with the precious water of God's Word. Yep, that's exactly it. It's God's Word. That's where the power is. It's not what I'm doing. I'm just telling you what God says, and He's taking His Word. That's where the power is. I tell these pastors, preach the Bible. Then you can preach with authority. You don't have to say it could be, might be, hope so, all the rest of it. You can say, thus saith the Lord, period. And we had an old professor in seminary, and he taught us 70 years ago or more. He said, when we read the Word of God and God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. If God says it, it's gospel. And it's going to stand when the world is gone. It's still going to stand, see? And so you just, it's the Word of God. It's called the water of life. It's called the light of the world. It's called the bread of life. It's called a lot of different things, but it's the Word of God. Here's Shakopee, Minnesota. Listen to this, little short letter, but I wanted to share it. Thank you for making my shut-in-ness. Shut-in-ness. Thank you for making my shut-in-ness more tolerable and blessed. Yours in Jesus. You know, there's three things, the three goals we have in the Christian Worship Hour. Number one is to glorify God. Number two is to help people come to Jesus, to be born again. Number three is to comfort God's people. That's right. We have a lot of people that can't get out anymore. They're shut in. Some of them are bedridden. Some are in wheelchairs. Some just don't can't. Some are blind. Some can't get around. There's no transportation. And so, and God told Isaiah, comfort you, Isaiah, I want you to comfort my people. And that's what he's telling the Christian worship hour. I want you to comfort my people. Help them to know that I care for them. Help them to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Help them to know that I said in Hebrews, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Help them to know you're going to have the last word and take them home to heaven. And then are we ever going to sing and shout? You bet, the shut-ins. We pray for them every service. And I got a letter where a person said, I've never heard anybody pray for shut-ins. Well, we pray every service, we pray for shut-ins. Well, let's see. Winter Springs, Florida. You spoke about Turkey and praying for those who are losing their lives for Jesus. Pastor, I've been a coward all my life. I don't know how to not be a coward, but I give my life to Jesus and pray he'll give me the courage to live as a strong Christian and witness. Please pray that Jesus will help me not to be a coward. Isn't that a nice letter? I say it's nice because here's a lady and she's honest about it. I have people say, oh, if they were going to wanted to cut my head off, I'd let them cut it off. Well, I don't know. I would or not. They'd probably have to catch me first. I don't know if I hope that I would do that, but I don't know. I don't know. And so but the devil wants all of us to be cowards. That's why some people don't witness for Jesus. They might offend somebody. Or they might say something, they might think that you're, you know, too religious or something. So they don't witness for the Lord. So you're a coward that way, see? And so what we have to do is just to put our faith in Jesus and lean on him. And God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And you know what? St. Paul was beheaded. He was put to death. And he had the strength to stand up for Jesus and die for him. And I'm just betting a lot of you Christian people, you'd do the same thing. If push came to shove, I believe you'd stand for the Lord and die for the Lord. But we probably won't have to do that, but we have brothers and sisters. And so every month, every service, every week, we pray for brothers and sisters in the persecuted church somewhere, some country. And we'll pray. You know, in just a few minutes, we'll pray for some friends in Syria. Well, here's one other that we want to read, and that is Whitehall, Maryland. I received your booklet, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? I have a literature ministry at age 89. I'd love to purchase 25 copies. Please inform me of their cost. Now, we have this little book that's got about 14 pages. And is entitled, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And they absolutely cannot. You cannot. Once saved, you're always saved. Now, not everybody believes that. But we have a little booklet. And it's filled with scriptures teaching that once we're saved forever. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you get the little book and then you write and tell me where I'm wrong. And because you can't go wrong with the Bible. You tell where God is wrong, not me, because I'm just quoting Scripture, see? And so you just get to write to us, and I'll give it to you in just a minute, but I want to say this about this booklet. We send them out on a free will offering basis. Now, she wants 25. We're going to send her 25. And if she can pay for those 25, I don't remember just exactly what the cost is, that's just fine. If she can't, somebody else will help us. Because if she wants to get the word out at 89 years old, now that tells me that here's a dear sister and she's living, loving the Lord and living for the Lord and she's not sitting in a rocking chair. Now some of you have to because you can't get around. But some of you are able-bodied and you can. And she's leading a group of people and they're studying about Jesus and salvation. So you just pray for this lady, and we've already sent 25 copies, and we'll see what happens. But God will provide. And so then I want to just encourage all of you to help us in this ministry. I hope that you'll write. We get so many of the letters we read, every letter we get. And so I hope you'll write to us and that you'll send a gift to help us in the work because we've got to pay our way like anybody else. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's good news. If you want to send it on the internet, a gift on the internet, anywhere in the world, you get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send us a gift, and we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our bills. Now, we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we never beg for money. We're not going to do that. But we're going to tell you, we have a need. And so we just ask you to do this. Ask the Lord if this He wants you to support this ministry. And if He says yes, in your heart He says yes, how much shall I give? And then you give whatever He says. And then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you give as the Lord leads. Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Barb. Jan, I always called her Barb. Jan, God bless her. We have some wonderful musicians here. I get their names mixed up, but I know them. They know me. They know I do that kind of as a pastime. We're reading from Genesis chapter 37 and beginning with the first verse. And the scriptures write, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him the more for his dreams and for his words. We're going to be thinking about Joseph this month. 4 Sundays, 4 weeks, we're going to look at Joseph. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for this man, Joseph, and the wonderful testimony that he leaves for us. Help us as we go through this month of September, looking at these different facets of his life, different phases of his life. May we draw lessons that will bring us to Jesus, the wonderful Savior, and help us to live for him, just as David lived for God in his day. And Joseph stood by, also living for you, serving you, and doing your will. We want to pray today, Lord, that you'll bless those who have special needs. And we think of those who are giving their life for you. Many of them have died for you, Lord, and gladly so, never wavering, never quivering, but just standing there saying in their own language, Jesus is Lord. And we pray for them in the persecuted church, Lord. We pray for them, especially today in Syria. And may all of us pray for those people, dear Lord. And we pray that you'll comfort their hearts and help them to stand. And oh, God, some of them have been going about 8 years of trials already and persecution. Thousands have died and thousands have fled and been scattered all over the world. And oh, my God, I know that you'll take care of them. We just can't understand why these things happen, but we understand that because we live in a world of sin, where man is sinful. If man would just come to you and straighten up, there would be food for all and a place for all and care for all. But because of the wickedness of man, people have to suffer. So we pray for them in their suffering, that they'll be a good witness for you. And we pray, Lord, if we ever have to come to that place where we have to suffer, help us to be willing to gladly do it to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. So bless us in this service, Lord. Bless your people. Bring many to a saving knowledge of Jesus and comfort your people as we have our service today in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb has a song she's going to sing. He saw it all. God bless you, Barb.
One afternoon, attending some business affairs, I heard a commotion couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. And he smiled up at me, and as you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you tried everything you can possibly think of, but there's no relief to be found. The very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf, and the lame is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all.
Thank you, Barb. And you can get the spiritual sight when you come to Jesus. You know, Satan has blinded the sight of all people. And when we come to Jesus and we say, oh, I saw the light. Well, that means that when you accept Jesus, he takes away those scales from your eyes and you'll have spiritual sight. It's a wonderful miracle that God gives all who receive him. Well, today we're going to start a series of four sermons running through this month of September and going to be dealing with Joseph. When you look, come to the Bible, you'll find that there are four great patriarchs of the faith. They were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And so he is one of the spiritual fathers of the human race or the Hebrew people. Yeah, and for these patriarchs will come, out of these patriarchs will come the nation of Israel. Ultimately, out of them will come the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. So we're going to spend some time looking at Joseph. Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob, and it is the first son of his beloved wife, Rachel. And I might add, as the Bible says, it was his favorite son. So we want to look at, first of all, his birth, and from the birth to 17 years of age. And those first 17 years, it says the family was in transition, and everything was unsettled, and everything was on the move. Everything was in flux. And then great years 17 to 30 years, Joseph reaches young manhood, and his life seems out of control. He's in enslavement and a false accusation. Imprisonment. He's in Egypt, those years of 17 to 30. And then from 30 years on to his death, the last 80 years, blessing and prosperity, but the grace to get even, he has a chance to get even with his brothers, but instead he protected them and he forgave them. And so let's look at that years of the 17, of the years 17 to 30 today. Joseph was his father's favorite. There's can be no question about that. We're told in Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. There are several reasons that he loved Joseph so much. For one thing, he was a child of his old age. For another reason, Jacob demonstrated that favoritism by the famous coat of many colors. And so he showed that he was really cared for Joseph. He cared for the Joseph above all of the others with this coat of many colors. And I remember when going to Sunday school or in a home, my mother had a little Bible story book, and she had that coat of many colors. It was a shirt with many colors. But when you get to studying it, you find that it was more than that. It was more like a robe. And it was something that the sons of the king would wear. And so some have called it a bouquet of colors, far more than just a covered shirt. It was a long-sleeved tunic, brightly colored, and it was very, very expensive. And then it meant also that this coat meant that that person would assume family leadership. So when Joseph comes wearing it to the field to see his jealous brothers, it's like waving a red flag in front of a mad bull. However you want to put it, it was a clear mark that Joseph was his pet. The other 11 brothers had no such garment, only Joseph. And then Joseph also was his favorite because he was the son of his favorite wife. Joseph constantly reminded him of his beloved Rachel, now dead. And every time Jacob laid eyes on his boy, that boy, he thought of his wonderful wife, Joseph, wonderful wife, Rachel. And his heart went out, and he could see in that boy, he could see Rachel, now who's dead. So to better understand it, let's look at Rachel for a minute or two to see how much he loved her. Jacob first laid eyes on Rachel when he was a vagabond from Esau. And you remember how he cheated Esau out of his birthright. And Esau was going to kill him. And so his mother Rebekah advised him to flee to his uncle Laban and stay there, who lived in Mesopotamia. So he ran away from him. Jacob ran away from home to travel to his uncle Laban in Mesopotamia. And on the way, he laid eyes on that beautiful vision at Bethel of the ladder reaching from earth to heaven. And he never forgot that beautiful vision of how he could be with God. And from there, he traveled on and stops at a well. And he stops at a well, and while the shepherds are watering their sheep, while they're at the well, Rachel comes along, and she's going to water her father's sheep. And it was a turning point in Jacob's life, and it was a turning point in Rachel's life. Clarence McCartney puts it this way: Providence brought them together at that well, where they drank of one single cup and never separated again until death parted them. So Jacob was smitten. He was never the same. That beautiful Rachel took away his breath and took away his heart and took away his soul. As a matter of fact, he was so infatuated, Jacob was so infatuated, that we read, and when he rolled away the stone, he, in verse Genesis 29, 11, he kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Look at that. He kissed her and wept. And you wonder, if he kissed her, why did he weep? And if he wept, why did he kiss her? We'll have to find all those things out when we get to heaven. But the point is, Jacob then is fallen deeply in love with Rachel. And she goes to Rachel's father, his name is Laban, and to beg for her hand. And Laban can see that Jacob is just madly in love with Rachel. And so he says, well, if you want her hand, you have to work 7 years of hard labor. And Jacob, to him, it was a bargain. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 29:20, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. And that is so true of life. Hate makes days long and hours drag, but love makes days short, and the hours speed by and the time goes rapidly. Be sure our attitude of what is right then, that we don't have bitterness and make it better bitter in life, but forgiveness will make life run a lot smoother. Forgiveness and love changes everything. So the marriage takes place. He works 7 years, except for one thing. When the wedding is over and the veil is lifted, Jacob looks at his wife, and lo and behold, it isn't Rachel. It's her older cross-eyed sister, Leah. Jacob is angry. He worked for Rachel, and he got Leah. And old Laban, he's a shyster kind of a guy, and he says, sorry, the oldest sister always has to be married first. If you want Rachel, you have to work another 7 years. And Jacob said, with pleasure. And he worked another 7 years. You see, I wonder about Leah. She knew that Jacob loved Rachel more than he did her. And she could see that. She could tell it. And so her heart goes out. And when she has her first son born, she names him Reuben. And Reuben said, it means, surely the Lord hath looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. She thinks, like so many times a bride, this young mother will say, when the first child is born, now my husband will love me because I have this child for him. Now we have my child, my husband will treat me kindly. Now, we have our little son born, and oh, he'll stop his drinking, or he'll go to church, or he'll change, but most of the time they don't. And they didn't either with Jacob. Although Leah gave Jacob 6 sons and a daughter, she never received the love and affection that Rachel had. It's a sad story, but it's a true story. And so it came to pass then that Rachel gave Jacob 2 sons, and the first one was Joseph. Joseph. But the second time Rachel went down into the valley of motherhood, she didn't come back. Before she left that valley, she named her little son Benoni, meaning son of my sorrow. But brokenhearted Jacob couldn't stand to be called that, and he called him Benjamin, meaning the son of my right hand. And for the last time on this world, Jacob looked upon the beautiful face of his wife, Rachel, that he had met at the Mesopotamian well so many years before, and she was taken from him. And so this love fell upon Joseph. Joseph was his favorite, and you can see why. But it's really sad, because when Jacob would look at Joseph, he would think of Rachel. He would think of her mother, and it was just there, and he couldn't have it. But favoritism always causes trouble. Whether it's in the home, Joseph's brothers saw it plain as day. Joseph was their father's favorite, and it caused hard feelings, and it bred jealousy, and it hurt the entire family. And favoritism always does that, and sometimes children are favored, and it's always a sad thing and a hard thing. Sometimes it's in school they're favored, and they're, what do they call them, the teacher's pet. That's their favorite, and so Joseph is his favorite. The day came then when Jacob wandered about his 10 sons. They were word care. They had their flocks out in the miles away. And he wondered how they were getting along. And so he asked Joseph to go and see if everything is well with your brothers. And Joseph gladly did it. And he goes from Hebron to Shechem. And that's about 40 miles. He travels alone and he gets to that place. And a stranger there tells him that he thinks that their brothers have gone on to Dothan. That's another 8 or 10 miles. And so one day, so Joseph goes to Dothan. And you can imagine it in your mind that one day the 10 brothers are tending their sheep and they see something in the horizon and something fluttering in the horizon. And before they are long, they identify it is the coat of many colors that David is wearing. And the men who hate Joseph to the core, before he ever gets to them, they immediately lay plans to kill him. And in Genesis 37:18, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. They referred to him as him is in derision as the dreamer. And they do that because Joseph had these dreams, this dream. And you can't blame them for hating him because of that, because Joseph was a dreamer. And I just might say in adding to young people, don't be afraid to dream. Oh, that you must have a dream. You must have a vision. You must have a goal. You must have a reason in life. And so it isn't wrong to dream. But where the problem came was that day Joseph told the brothers about his dream. He, in this dream, his brothers would bow down to him. Actually, he had another dream in which his parents bowed down to him. And I'm going to tell you that was not popular with anyone. His brothers hated him. And in some ways, you got to blame Joseph for the situation. For one thing, why did he wear that gown, that beautiful robe? Why did he wear that when he knew that they hated him and were jealous of him? Why did he wear it? And then we told also that he tattled on his brothers. It says he brought bad brought a bad report of them to their father. That was earlier on. So he was a tattletale. They hated him for that. And then when he tells them about this dream, and they're going to bow down to him, he says, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. And he says, all you're going to have to bow down to me. And my parents are going to bow down to me. And in the middle, in that day and age, they didn't dream of such a thing as a parents bowing down to the child. They reverenced their child. Old age was respected. In America, there wouldn't be any problem at all. But in the Middle East, old age was respected and revered. And to think that he would, Joseph, this young smart aleck Joseph with the fancy coat, would say, my folks going to bow down to me. It was more than they could stomach. And so they decided they're going to put him to death. So the brothers had reasons for treating him the way they did. And so they see him coming in the distance, and they says, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him, sure as the world. Man, they would have had it not been for Reuben. And Reuben persuaded him to put him into an abandoned cistern. And then he was going to set him free when the brothers weren't around and when he had a chance. He had a heart for Joseph. He's the only one. But wouldn't you know it, Reuben is away tending the flocks. And while he's away tending the flocks, there comes a caravan of Ishmaelites. And they're on the way to Egypt. And Judah suggested, why don't we sell him as a slave instead of putting him to death? And that's what they did. The price was 20 pieces of silver, 10 less than what they paid for Jesus. 20 pieces of silver. And then they sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites, the first thing they would do, they would bind him with ropes on the back of a camel so he couldn't run away. And those ropes must have been a terrible thing. And they carried him along. And they passed by Hebron as they're on their way to Egypt. And I wonder if Joseph could look over and see the oaks of Mamre. And that was his home. And they're on the way to Egypt. And there's nothing he can do. And they carry him into Egypt. And he would think of his dear father. And he would think about all his dad. And that he would never, Joseph would think, I'd never see my dad again. I'll never be home again. And they take him away. And a few days later, and so he goes on to Egypt. A few days later, the brothers come to Hebron and they show Jacob. And they show Jacob the coat of many colors. And they killed a goat and they daubed it in the blood. And they said, oh, it must be there's some wild animal. And they take it to their father and they ask, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? He recognized it and he said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured them. Without doubt, Joseph was torn to pieces, and Jacob was brokenhearted. And he says, I shall go down unto the grave to my son in mourning. And his father wept for him. Jacob had been lost. Jacob, Rachel, Joseph. Now Jacob wants to die. He's just lost to this world. He has nothing. It's taken away. You know, there may be times in life when you feel that way. When you feel that everything has gone wrong, when a loved one is taken, your spouse is taken, a child is taken, there may be times when something just doesn't turn out right, where you hope for something, or a friend turned on you, or you have terrible health, and you just feel like that there's nothing worth living for. All your hope is gone. Well, when you just remember that God is always there. And he's not far away. And I think of these people that are dying for the Lord, that are being martyred for the Lord. I think of their families and they feel, oh, where is God? God doesn't even know. God doesn't see. But God is always there. And his eyes always on his people. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were under the hard taskmasters, and they cried to God. And later on, God said, their cry came up to me, and he delivered them. But there was a space, there was a waiting. And so our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering, God is there. God knows. God cares. There's a reason and a purpose. Job couldn't understand why things happen. You can't understand why things happen. So just trust Jesus. And so the Midianites take Joseph to the slave market. And they come from everywhere, the north and the west, the east and the south. They come and they're buying. And here comes a man named Potiphar. He's the captain of the Pharaohs. And he is in charge of all that's going on. And he's there to buy a slave. And he sees Joseph and he likes Joseph. And he buys him as a slave in the house of Potiphar. Now just think of this for a minute. Look at Joseph. He's just a boy, 17 years old. He doesn't cry because of his fate. He doesn't have a pity party. He doesn't question God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? He never any record of that. He's a better cut of cloth than that. And Joseph instead, he's going to make the best of situation. He's going to be optimistic. He's going to live for God no matter what happens. He's not going to back down. And so if you have your troubles and your trials, dear friends, you met some disappointment and all of those things, well, take a cue from Joseph. Though all was against him, he was a slave in a foreign land. Though he feels he'll never see his father again, though he feels that it is all is lost, he still has God. And it doesn't matter where he is or what he does, he still has his God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have God? When the trials come and the storms come, will your house stand? Do you have God in your life? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? If you don't have Jesus Christ, you can't face the trials and troubles of life. Joseph didn't know God as Jesus. He just knew there was a God who loved him and a God who cared. And he lost everything, as just like Job lost everything, his health and his wife, his family, his children, and his property, everything. But he didn't lose God. And maybe you're going through some hard times today. Your health is bad. You're running out of money. You can't get a job. Maybe there's a divorce looming up. Maybe something, and maybe the children are acting up. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe it could be a thousand things, but you still have God. Or do you have God? You don't have him unless you receive Jesus Christ. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to him. And there's only one way to come to him. And Jesus tells us in John 14, he tells the disciples and he talks to them about heaven, how wonderful heaven is. And they ask him, oh, we don't know how to get to heaven. How do we get to heaven? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody goes to heaven but by me, Jesus. The way to Jesus isn't through confirmation or church membership or circumcision or anything else. It's through Jesus, a person. I love the church. I gave over 70 years to the church. I love the church, but it can't save you. It can hold. The church is the custodian of God's word to give out the word of God. And it's only Jesus that saved us. Jesus said to the disciples, you believe in God? Not enough. Believe also in me. How do you believe in Jesus? You pray. And you pray, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll live for you the best I can. And I thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then tell somebody. Now, if you do that, you write to us. The Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. If you want to know more about the Christian life, write to us. We'll answer. We answer every question we get. But most of all, open your heart to Jesus. And I have the feeling that all over the world, there are people right now saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. You do that, and then you write, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Send your gift, send your question, send your prayers. And we'll thank you. So now we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. And we thank you that you're going into many hearts right now. Many are being born again right now because they're praying. And we pray for them as they get started in the Christian life. And we pray for the shut-ins, and we pray for the aged, and we pray for the people that just absolutely can't get out and go anywhere or do anything. We pray that they will realize that you are with them, whether they feel it or not, you are there. If they call, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And some of them are saints, have been saved for a long time, but maybe they're wandering, and maybe they're weary, and maybe they're lonely. Dear Heavenly Father, just minister to them. I know you will. And give them courage and help them to know that the Christian Worship Hour loves them and is praying for them, praying for people all over the world, and people all over the world are praying for them, and that God loves them, and so do we. That's why we have the Christian Worship Hour. So bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for being with us. We're just praying that you've made that, put your faith in Jesus. And if you're struggling and having a hard time, He's there. He'll help you. Don't go by feelings. Just go by the Word of God. It's a contract. It's a covenant that He's made with you. Lean on it. Trust it. Rejoice in it. And God bless you till next week. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.